you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is Jabba the Pod.
Sons, and welcome to Sci-Fi Wire's Jabba the Pod, our weekly Star Wars podcast where we discuss and celebrate the movie, shows, books, comics, games, and everything else from the galaxy far, far away. Every generation has a legend, every legend is a podcast, and this is ours. I am your host, disgraced former Jedi and Force mystic Brian Silliman. Yes, that's right, they tried to replace me with Timothy Oliphant, and they failed. Still here, Oliphant, still here. Joining me are the greatest co-hosts in the galaxy, starting with former Force-sensitive Assassin's Guild member turned droids rights activist Caitlin Bush.
Hello there.
And the man who lets us record on his starship, the smuggler with a not-so-secret heart of gold, captain of the Starbinger, Matt Romano.
Greetings!
Also with us is our protocol droid, Y1RZZ, human podcast relations, also known as Wires.
Hello, sir. I must inform you that the reprogrammed midwife droid known as Mbop is unhappy about being left out of last week's episode and is also unhappy that you have not mentioned the midwife droid appearing in a recent issue of the Darth Vader comic.
Oh.
Ow.
Oh, God.
Watch out. All right. Careful.
Come in. Careful.
Yes. She has been like this, wanting to do that for a long time,
yes.
Sir.
Yes. All right. All right. Okay. Yeah. Apologies, Mbop. Please stop hitting me, first off.
Please. Plug yourself back
worth,
in. Get in there.
I did think of you, Mbop. Yeah. For new listeners, Mbop is our resident former midwife droid turned HR nightmare. And, a midwife droid did pop up and prove pivotal in Darth Vader number 5. It was really hilarious.
That's great.
So, Mbop, I was thinking about you. Didn't mention mention it on the show. We kind of had, other things to talk about.
We had Timothy Oliphant to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, you always got to talk about him.
Always.
And like the rest of us, Mbop, you just can't compete. I know you're trying. And of all of us, you probably have the biggest shot for what it's worth. Anyway. Ow. We're recording on Friday, November 6th, 2020, and we're hot, hot, hot! To jump in to chapter 10 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
But before we do that, it's time for some news on the march.
News on the march.
Oh, what do we got? We got a trailer for the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh,
looks
man.
Like fun. Duh. Caitlin,
yeah.
Tell us about it.
Oh, my God. We got a lot of Lego silliness. We got Lando wanting a cape for Life Day. Even though it's Lego, it's fun to see Rey with her yellow lightsaber. It's fun to see her time travel, which is going to be a thing, which really freaks me out. We've talked about this before. The multiple timelines, I don't know if any of this is going to be canon, but it's going to be a good time, I think. It doesn't seem like it's Daisy Ridley doing the voice. I don't think she was actually confirmed for it, but there are a lot of really great people associated with this, including Kelly Marie Tran. Back to voice Rose Tico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was weird because I had to look it up because it sounded.
Yeah, it was very good.
Like
very
Ridley.
Good impression.
Whoever is doing the voice is an excellent copy. And the Darth Vader is the same person who's always done it who's done it for a lot of the Lego and Freemaker stuff and everything. So it's really a return to that whole team. And we've talked about
it. We also have Anthony Daniels there actually as C-3PO.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's not only is it not Star Wars, but it's not Lego Star Wars without Anthony Daniels.
Agreed.
In that role.
And then we also have to mention that in the poster that they released as well, Finn has a lightsaber.
Yeah, he does.
He has a yellow lightsaber.
I was like that. It would be a weird place to get that.
To like, finally confirm for sure, 100%, that Finn is Force sensitive.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah, because,
like, let's just put
great.
It out there. Yeah.
They've confirmed it off screen and everything, but it's like for it to,
the first time we ever see Finn with a lightsaber to be in Lego, it's like, that's how you're going to do it.
And it isn't with John Boyega.
But yeah, it's like, but at the same time, it's like, okay, I'll take it. It's
I'll
like,
take it.
As long as we have it, I'll take it. But it's like weird place to
yeah,
have.
But for
it.
Those I'm, that like, you know, that haven't, I mean, we've all seen them, but like who haven't seen these Lego specials, like the best part of these specials is how tongue in cheek they are with.
Oh,
like
they're
fandom.
Ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. Like the, yeah. the what they call out and like, you know, it, like, so this would be the perfect place to like take something that the fans really want to see and make it real, or at least, you know,
that's
manifest it just
point.
For this special.
They,
yeah,
they could even break the fourth because they break the fourth wall
all the time.
They yep. could even
constantly.
Do it's like, this is where we're doing this reveal. Yep. This is where we're
this
doing
is
it.
It.
I'll like, take it.
You yeah. know,
like literally they could have Finn's Lego look at the camera and go, yes, this is where we're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we don't know. It's all I know is it was definitely not Oscar Isaac as Poe Dameron.
No. Right.
That was, it was
that one was pretty obvious. I do like Finn in the Christmas sweater though. It seems that he's very pro Life Day. He's
yeah.
very into
yeah.
Life Day.
In general, the Lego Christmas sweaters, they're all set for, you know, Cobb Vanth to walk in sans armor. He'd fit right
absolutely.
In.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we do get, there, I have to mention, since we're going to talk about Mandalorian, we have to mention that you do see a little bit of yes. Mando and Baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's, Wires, play us the response to Baby, if you would.
Great progress for Bebe.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's always good.
yeah.
Bebe.
It's very good.
But it's, yeah, like, it would have been weird if they did this holiday special, anything Star Wars, and not had Baby.
Yeah, especially on Disney you know. Plus.
And I loved seeing that because, like, it's just, like, it's affirmation that Mando's in the universe. Because we haven't seen any
yeah.
Mando comics, you know, action figure. It's still, like, Mando's still off on its own island, but now, like, they're in it, you know.
Well,
love it.
And also some people online, some people were not complaining. Well, yeah, no, they were full on complaining that it's very original trilogy, sequel trilogy centric. And they're like, what about the prequels? Let's not forget that Matt Lanter and James Arnold Taylor are appearing in it as
yeah,
Anakin and
Obi-Wan.
Definitely
going to be prequel stuff.
So
there.
we're going to have prequel stuff. I mean, are we going to get Chancellor Valorum and
of course,
TC-14?
Yes,
probably. Yes, you're right. Yeah. So Caitlin's giving me a firm yes. So we'll take it. You know, so who knows how deep the cuts are going to go. Pogo the Lesser in Lego form.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's a fun time. It's coming out. It's a fun time. I haven't seen
it's
it
going,
yet.
It's going.
Oh, you know it's
going to
be a fun
time.
Come on.
I don't see how this can't be
yeah,
fun. I mean, this is a safe
obviously,
bet.
We're really excited for it. We will be covering it when it comes out on November 17th. So
No doubt. November 17th. And we're going to have a whole special on that. It'll probably be a Spotchka night.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a few snorts of Spotchka going around.
I mean, who are we even kidding? Listeners, let me just say, it's like odds are pretty much most of our bonuses, if not some of the real ones from this point on, are going to be Spotchka nights.
We're fine. Everything's fine
everything's
over here.
We're
how
fine
are you?
Here.
Everything's
fine
here.
How are you? Yeah. With that, no more ado, let's jetpack back into season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
For big reveals or additions to canon, we'll fire off our trusty cannon. Cannon! If we have hot takes along the way, we'll sound the hot take alarm. And if anything really blew our minds, we'll let loose with a seismic mind charge. Now, this episode is also brand new and can be located on Disney Plus. Because we don't want you to be spoiled in any way, we will help you out and sound the spoiler klaxon. That's right. Set it off. Woo woo. Get to my train, anti-spoiler. I don't want you to be spoiled, but afterwards do come and listen. What is there, Caitlin Ambush?
There's a clear order in which you should watch Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and then listen to our podcast.
That's right. And after that, you can get on my train and we'll go straight to hell forever. It will be great. Okay, if we're all set, punch it.
But bounty hunting is a complicated profession.
Before we move on to chapter 10, okay,
we're done.
Before we move on to chapter 10, we're going to take a brief look back at chapter 9, and we're going to play the game that the internet has been practically screaming to return. They've been, Matt, you're somebody, and you're famous for this.
Famous.
You've got your finger on the pulse.
On the pulse, Brian.
On the pulse of the fandom. Yep. So tell me, And Caitlin, not that you don't, but Matt just says it more than you do, I guess.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, it's pretty much, when I think Matt Romano, I think finger on the pulse.
Right, specifically. Okay.
So many things. But Matt finger on the pulse Romano.
Yeah.
Legally, that is his name.
Fingy. Yeah.
Not, you know, Dirt Bucket Bush. Anyway, so Matt, you must know that fans have been screaming for the return of this game.
Screaming. At the top of their lungs, like breaking the internet.
Yeah,
so many people, retweets.
Yes. Posts. Oh my God, it's just filling up the my DMs. Except not really. Nobody cares.
No, but anyway, we care.
We care, and we're back, and that's right. It's time to play a quick round of What Did I Miss? Okay, what did I miss in Chapter 9? Turns out. Fair amount.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
There was so much.
A couple days ago, I was like, we'll play. You slack me, Matt, and you're like, I think we should play a game of What Did I Miss? And I'm like, no, we're going to.
Because
there's like about five things.
It's one of those things, I take my headphones off, we finish the recording and go, and then I go on the internet, and I'm like, oh, damn it.
Damn it.
I went a little Cobb Vanth crazy, and I forgot some things.
We did do a good job. Because people have to understand, we record this immediately after we watch it. So we don't really have a lot of time to percolate. You know, we jump right in it.
I had 45 minutes, and yes, it was focused on Cobb Vanth, and then 10 minutes was focused on
we all know
anger
how
meditation.
That went. We all heard about the episode.
That I'm never going to be Oliphant now. I'm never going to be the next Oliphant, but I am going to be the first me.
And that's what's important, Brian.
Thank you, Caitlin. So we missed some stuff, and one glaring thing in particular, and it's been pointed out many, 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 many times. So hopefully this will put it to rest. But I do thank all of the listeners that reached out. And it was a lot.
You know it all.
That's fine. And they're right. Because they're right.
100%.
You know, yeah. I slipped up. I completely forgot a big thing, and I was just caught up. I was excited. I'm an old man. I'm confused. Anyway, let's play the game as we go. Caitlin, I'm going to go through these things. Caitlin is going to award them a yay or an eh. And Matt Romano, are you all set to tally the yays and the ehs?
Oh, always. Hold on. Let me get my pen here. Yep. Ready to go.
And I'm not going to sabotage it by just sticking in like also Amy Sedaris at the end of each one, even though I thought about it.
Okay, good.
Anyway, Wires, if you would, start the music. Okay, Cobb Vanth hits the crate dragon with his missile, not Mando. I was wrong about that.
Yay.
W. Earl Brown plays the Wee Kuei bartender. He's a prolific actor whose work includes playing Dan Doherty on Deadwood. So Ian Oliphant had a bit of a Deadwood reunion on set, even said in some tweets how old Deadwood lines were said back and forth between them, and a classic Deadwood phrase word was trying to get slipped in, but wouldn't, and Favreau loved it. Don't you dare give this one an eh.
Yay.
The okay. phrase dank ferric that Mando says is not Mandoa, but we have heard it before. The fledgling Mithril, played by Horatio Sands, says it in the very first episode of this whole series.
Yay.
Hmm.
Not only does Cobb Vanth's speeder mostly consist of a pod engine, a lot of the engine looks exactly like Anakin Skywalker's pod.
Yay.
A local boy. The crate dragon's scream is very similar to the sound Obi-Wan uses in A New Hope to scare off the Tuskens, which is the point, though this sound has changed every time they make changes to the movie. Supposedly, it was always meant to be a crate dragon sound.
Yay.
Fantastic.
Crate dragon pearls. It was not an egg that the Tuskens found.
I realized this afterward, like five minutes.
Inside the crate. This is a recanonization of something from KOTOR as well as some other books. Most importantly, in the old legends, the pearls of the crate dragon in some instances in some of the stories have been able to take the place of kyber crystals and power lightsabers.
Hot Yay. Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're out. Matt, I believe we have a full yay.
It's a full yay. Quorum. Perfect score.
Yeah.
It's a full yay. And, you
That's
know,
the first
as
time
always,
ever
the
happened.
Best part.
Ever.
It is the first part that it's happened without me cheating. As always, the best part of What Did I Miss is that everyone wins. And
Except
that
for
has
us.
Been What Did I Miss? Okay, now, as I said, I got a lot of messages. It was about the crate dragon pearls.
I got quite a few, too, about the dragon
I got
pearls.
So many.
I, yep. I forgot. Look, it wasn't that I did.
I looked it up because I didn't like that we didn't know. And I looked it up literally like 5 minutes after we finished recording. And I was like, well, there's that.
Yep. We're going to get dinged for that. Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're sorry. It's like, look, I was wrong.
Just stand there in your wrongness and be wrong and get used to it.
But you know, it's exciting more than anything else, because this is not just, oh, it's actually this. This is a thing with history, and this is full of an episode with big recanonizations and continuing canonizations and anything else. This was quite literally the pearl on, you know, on top of the hoard.
Yeah.
You know, it came before the other big reveal at the end, but this is no small deal, and it could have consequences. We don't know. For anybody, some people are thinking, well, that's how Yoda Baby's gonna, you know, for when he makes his little lightsaber, it could be a Krayt dragon pearl in there. I don't know, but
sure.
Knows if they have that power here, but the pearls are back and it's a big thing. So a belated cannon fire for the return of Krayt dragon pearls fire. And one more bit of clarification, if I may. I obviously made a big deal over Cobb Vanth going from book to screen. Now, technically, yes, we've had instances where characters have made this jump before. Like Grand Admiral Thrawn is a good instance. Began in a book and then came back into canon. But in that instance, the book he came from was no longer canon, and though Thrawn himself remained more or less the same, his story and his purpose was completely changed in a completely different time period. Snap Wexley in The Force Awakens is also from the Aftermath books, and yes, he technically came first.
Yeah,
he's the grown-up Temmin Wexley, who was a major character, but when he showed up in Force Awakens, it wasn't completely clear that it was, I don't think they really say his name on screen.
No.
It wasn't clear. They say Snap Wexley. It wasn't clear that it was Temmin Wexley. Comics and books filled that out afterwards. So it wasn't like, and now it's a straight, it's definitely the same guy, but it's not like other characters that were around him. Like, he has this droid program called Mr. Bones. It's not like he fired that up in Force Awakens, you know? So that I'm not going to say it was retconned, because I don't have any clarification on that, but you know, it felt like it a little bit. And then there was Aftab Ackbar, the son of Admiral Geol Ackbar, who technically appeared in the comic Allegiance before we had his cameo in Rise of Skywalker. But that comic came out right before the movie, and likely that the writers of that series were building him up because they knew he was going to be in the movie. So Cobb Vanth may not have been the first, but it's still remarkable, because this was 5 years later and it was continuing his story that began 5 years ago. A little different in some area. In the books, he's a sheriff. On the show, he's a marshal. But it's still scans,
it's the same
for the most part. Yeah. And this was just done to such a huge degree. I stand by my freak out. This was another instance that we finished recording and I started writing a feature about Cobb Vanth for you, Caitlin. And I was like, okay, well, there's Thrawn, and there's Snap, and there's Aftab, and there's, so it's not like first, but to such a degree, it's, I stand by my freak out.
It's still a first.
Yeah, it's still, and still
it was
awesome.
Still very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, yes. Let's move on to new business, because we've got one of the weirdest Star Wars things I've ever seen. To discuss one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in general. Not what I was expecting to see this morning at all. The Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
Chapter 10, released November 6, 2020 on Disney Plus. The soundtrack is not out. Neither is last week's. I think we may be looking at a big singular release in November. I did the only thing I could find on it was very minimal, and they said probably in November. It might be one larger soundtrack dump.
That makes sense.
And not the weekly release, which is fine, you know, because it's not like we're getting brand new themes every week, you know, even though this one had a lovely Yoda baby based motif.
Indeed.
And there's so it's like, I'm willing to wait for it, you know?
Yeah.
We're on a real tear with this episode. Anyway, written by Jon Favreau, directed by Peyton Reed. And that made so much sense when I saw it in the credits, because I didn't know this was the Peyton Reed episode. And then at the credits, I'm like, that makes so much sense.
I didn't know that. That makes a lot of sense.
This is the Peyton Reed episode.
Yep,
Peyton Reed, fans, if you're not aware, he is the director of Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. also set to direct Ant-Man 3. He is also, fun fact, the director of 3 episodes of Mr. Show with Bob and David, my own personal favorite sketch comedy program, and the movie Bring It On. So
my favorite movie about
that's the most important thing right there, honestly.
I love the hell out of that movie. That movie's
fun. It's so good.
That movie's fun.
Unironically, it's great.
Yeah, I'm being completely honest here. Yeah, that's just a really fun watch. Yeah. And yeah. It has like 5 direct to DVD sequels. I mean, that doesn't just happen.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway, this one, we got a runtime of over 41 minutes and we're back on Tatooine. So you were right, Matt, when you said we're going to be sticking on Tatooine. We don't stay there too long, but we are there.
Yeah. You needed the transition, you know?
Yeah. So you, I agree. And that's kind of, you know, how they've been doing things. It's not like last season he's magically gone from Arvala in episode 2. It's like, well, how does he get off? It's like, get off Arvala. It's like, okay, he doesn't magically transport around, which is, I know, something that you don't like.
I do not like that.
When characters start magically warping around.
No.
It's like, this is like, and that's what something somebody pointed out about the last episode is like, it's not like, oh, Mos Pelgo's right over there. You can walk there. It's not, you know, this is a whole planet.
Right.
So the city's on the other side of a planet. So they have to show he's getting there with a magical, you know, speeder bike or whatever. But it's taken him a little while.
Yeah,
and they show that journey.
The journey is part of the story. And so much can happen on the journey. Like that makes it, that grounds it in reality. You know,
We learn in the beginning of this episode, a lot can happen when you're on a speeder bike through the desert.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's something you can identify with too, Caitlin, because how many times have you been there? The amount of emergency texts that I get, and I'm like, first off, I'm your first call. It's like, I'm honored. Second, it's like, wow, again. Anyway, we're back on Tatooine. The whole planet. And Mando is ambushed on his way back to Mos Eisley by a Nikto and some other jerks. It's their official canon name. There's another band for you, Matt, for your musical.
Yeah,
Rando.
Let's add it in there.
Nikto and the other jerks. Yep. The speeder goes boom. Mando goes flying off, and Yoda baby takes a little tumble, takes a little dirt nap.
I screeched.
I didn't like you right off the bat. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, of course, you know he's gonna take a toughen and keep on roughing, but that's not a phrase. But you know, it's
I don't know. Yeah.
It is now. I think it is now. Yeah. So they all immediately, this gang starts telling him to get the child. So you see, people are still after the child. It's the thing of bounty hunters being on his tail or whatever and chasing him. That's not going away anytime soon.
Nope.
If anything, it's probably going to get worse. Mando fends almost all of them off. One creature remains with a knife to Yoda baby's throat. It's not a Jawa. It's a Jawa adjacent species that we see on Nima Outpost on Jakku in Force Awakens. And I tried to find the exact name of this species, but the visual dictionary of Force Awakens did not have it. But the scene where Rey is cleaning parts and looking at the old lady in Nima Outpost, she gets interrupted by some creatures. It looked to me like the same creature.
Yeah, they look familiar, definitely.
Yeah, so that's what I remember that creature from. In any case, Mando barter. He makes a deal with this guy. I'm like Whistling Bird, this dude, but he doesn't want to. You know, he wants to keep baby safe. On board. So Mando barters his jetpack away to this guy, and he's satisfied. So he puts baby down. And this dude runs
and
off
baby
with it.
Goes and, like running up to me, like just like runs to him.
Yeah, I thought this is the first of many moments where I'm like, I'm just thinking Caitlin's losing it right now. He just run. It's the fastest we've ever seen Yoda baby move, aside from when he does his Batman appearances and disappearances. But ran up and like hugged his leg like it was little Numa hugging one of the clones.
Yeah.
And it was so adorable and he's scared and Mando picks him up and there's something about people picking up Yoda baby and putting him down or whatever, where it's just, it's a puppet, but the tactileness of it is so real and so adorable that you just buy it immediately.
Yeah.
It's like without any question, it's just, there's some inherent charm there, and not knocking CGI creatures. I love CGI creatures, especially something like Gollum or something, and Star Wars has a ton of them. But there's something about that just hit home once again with the practical Yoda baby puppet. That's just magical.
It's the only way to do it. Only way to do it. I mean, because you can make anything CGI, like this. But there's no tactile, you know, there's no nothing to touch.
And that's this show. You know, this show is that approach.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be, it could have worked the other way. But like Verner said, it's like, you know, when they were going to shoot coverage in case it had to be CGI, it's like, do not do that. You are cowards.
You are cowards. You
know, so because he knew he met the baby. He knew if anyone's going to know the power of a puppet, it is Verner.
Yeah.
Anyway, after he runs into his arms, we're not done. Mando then, I thought, well, this is how he loses his jetpack, but not quite. Mando has a remote trigger. The jetpack ignites, sends the thief high into the air, and then dropping back to the ground dead. And what's happening this whole time? Who's watching this, Caitlin?
Oh, baby.
Yeah. And so watching close. It goes, you see him track it up and then down with the most devious and adorable smile.
Well, and then he kind of just like looks up at Mando like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, that was good, Dad.
Well, I immediately thought about what we were talking about last week, how it's like, you know, he's always watching and he's learning. So he's like picking up moves as he goes. He's like, all right, so that's how you would handle that situation. Like, all right.
Into my little pocket-sized notepad that will go. Yeah. So, and then the cap on this, the jetpack itself just comes down.
Yeah.
Just slowly and then sits down.
And it's like, okay, he still has it. So Mando he's gotten out of this scrap with the baby, with the jetpack, with the Boba armor, with the Beskar. He's still the Mando who has it all. And ba-bum, cut to title, chapter 10, The Passenger. We cut to Mando walking to Mos Eisley at night with a whole lot of crap on a harness.
But he makes it under that armor. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. But he makes it, thankfully, and he could have been shooting that on the volume.
Well, no,
I just mean in the
in real life. Are you just commenting on Pedro's attractiveness?
I mean, sure. I mean, also yes. In the idea of walking through a desert in the Star Wars universe under all that armor and helmet, that's got to be really hot.
Yeah, you think he took it off in the desert? Like, it was like, listen, Yoda baby, don't tell anybody. I'm taking this.
Don't tell anybody. No, I don't think he did.
It's like, look over there. I'm taking the helmet off. Yeah. John Boyega will attest that, yes, that is hot walking in an actual desert.
In an actual desert.
But thankfully, he gets there and he goes right into Chalmers Cantina. So we're back in the classic cantina this time. Peli Motto is in here in a booth playing Sabacc with a giant insect. And the subtitles referred to this character as Dr. Mandible. And I laugh and I think that's a hilarious little in-joke for the credits or something. They're not going to say that out loud. And then about 2 seconds after that, Sidaris says,
"You might be in luck. Dr. Mandible here says he can connect you with someone who can help you."
And I'm like, oh my God, they just said we saw this guy last time we were in the cantina. We remarked that there's pretty much just a giant insect. But the giant insect is named Dr. Mandible.
That's gold.
And now that you tell me that, you know, the director, Peyton Reed?
Yeah.
Like that makes all the sense.
That's true.
Like he chose the sense. Ant. You know? Like
of course he chose the ant.
An Ant-Man.
Well,
you know?
It was already in the show.
Yeah.
So it was already there.
I want the ant.
Well, let's make this more of a thing. Let's lean more into this.
He knows his brand.
I mean, and you know, he's like a giant insect. Bring it on.
Yeah.
So you have a giant insect named Dr. Mandible in a scene with Amy Sedaris playing Sabacc. And you think, well, this can't get any more, you know, nutso eccentric this episode.
You thought.
Think again. Dr. Mandible, it turns out, I'm not going to be able to say that. Oh, Dr. Mandible might be able to help connect him with more Mandos. A little hustling from Peli Motto goes on here to both Mando and Dr. Mandible.
What is you just can't do it.
I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth.
Dr. Mandible is like exactly your sense of humor too.
Yeah, this is right up Brian's alley.
I mean, I
Dr. Ball,
yeah,
a Dr. giant Mandible. Ant yeah, named it's, Dr.
It's
Mandible.
Like,
It's just, it's
we're not even touching the craziest stuff in this episode yet. We're not even,
I'm having a hard time getting over it. Anyway, if we found the one who actually outdoes Oliphant, then it's Dr. Mandible. Oh, yeah.
They're both so very attractive.
I love also how Pelimoto, after hustling them both in just, you know, blatantly, she beats both Mando and Dr. Mandible, and she wins with an idiot's array. Which is really, really cool that we haven't, any other Sabacc game, we haven't heard that phrase before that we've seen in live action, and that started with Rebels. It was a whole episode title the first time Lando was on Rebels, so I really liked getting that reference in here. Anyway, for Dr. Mandible, cannon, fire! Then we go back to Pelimoto's landing platform, and they're roasting a chunk of the crate dragon meat we saw Mando take. It's being roasted on a pod engine, which is almost certainly a nod to Ronto Roasters at Black Spire Outpost at Galaxy's Edge, where the meat is roasted over a used pod engine. And that's, you know, some of the treats that you can buy there. And it's also, but that's not just like the restaurant. It's in books and stuff. That's canon. Ronto Roasters.
Let me tell you, I know we've talked about this before, but like stuff I want to eat in Star Wars, man, I want a slice of that dragon meat. Looks delicious.
That dragon, yeah, because she downs a piece, she rips into it a little bit. Like it's like some roast beef. Like she's Tommy Lee Jones in that scene in Under Siege, ripping into the roast beef on the bridge of the ship.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? And you watch that and you're like, I want roast beef so bad right now. Mm. It's similar. I want crate dragon meat so bad right now.
Yeah, yeah. Just dip a little A1 on it. Gets you here. Gets you right here. You know, a little A1.
It gets you right in the mandibles. Anyway, Baby watches happily as one of Motto's droids. This is a WED Treadwell repair droid. It's kind of the it has big treads in the binoculars. We've seen them all over in A New Hope. They're in Clone Wars. And we've seen them in the background of her workshop. But front and center here, this droid has a name named Treadwell. She just goes up, hey, Treadwell, don't go do it. It's like hearing just.
Excellent. I thought she called him Treadmill.
It's spaced after. I mean, Treadmill would be even funnier. That's if we get one of these, we'll call them Treadmill. Because that's just what we need is another droid.
Anyway, we have room for that on the ship right now.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Amy Sedaris in the show is doing all this stuff. It's so silly, but it's not quite camp to the point of holiday special camp.
Agreed.
Like it still works. And it's delightful.
It's like prequel camp. It's like enough.
I'd say it's done a little better.
No, but better. Yes, but it's like it feels very
in terms of it's not like Art Carney is, you know, is great in the I actually think that's a solid performance. So nobody's pouring liquid into Harvey Korman's head.
No.
Right.
No. You know. Motto comes through. She has a contact that will lead Mandos to some other Mandos, and they are in this sector. It's not clear if they are from the Devaro covert, though, but they are other Mandos. She says it's free. This information's free aside from her finder's fee. So she's kind of grifting all over this episode. And she says,
however, there is one small skank in the scud pie.
Yes, wrote that down. Yep.
Which is, that's a phrase I'm going to be using all the
just
time now.
Just add it to the vernacular. They should give us one of these every single episode. I want a new, you know, we got two last week with the snorts of Spotchka.
Every now and then, Matt, two suns shine on a womp rat's tail.
There you go.
The contact wants passage to the system, and he can't use hyperdrive. We find out because the passenger is a frog lady. Literally, according to subtitles, the name of this character is Frog Lady.
Fantastic.
And that's as good as we get, is Frog Lady.
So please make the action figure Dr. so Mandible. I can buy the Frog Lady,
Frog Lady
series.
And it didn't look like it was the same species as the caretakers on Octo. This looked like a different kind of Frog Lady.
Right.
So we talk about frog ladies in Star Wars. You got the caretakers
there's
and then
many
you got
of
this.
Them.
Yeah,
there's, I mean, so many different kinds of humans. So you got to have different kinds of frog ladies.
Makes sense.
Anyway, this frog lady is she's carrying her own eggs that have to be fertilized by the Equinox. And if she goes into hyperspace, they die. The fun fact, the voice, the croaks of the frog lady is Dee Bradley Baker.
Of course it is.
So not just amazing. Not only is he every clone, he's Frog Lady, which is going to be the bigger claim to fame for me right now. It might just be where I am this morning, but I'm thinking Frog Lady. Anyway,
obviously.
Wow.
Moving on.
Okay.
They're going to Trask, which is in the system of Cole Iben. Is she sure there are Mandos there? Sidaris then starts speaking frog. And this just puts it over the top in terms of Sidaris just killing it all around and leading into it. I'm like, you are made for this. You think it's She's impossible wonderful. To love Amy Sidaris any more than you already do. And then this happens. Frog Lady's husband is the one who's seen Mandos. So she just, and it turns out, oh, I'll vouch for her on my life. And then it turns out she just met her 10 minutes ago. And Peli says, what can I say? I'm an excellent judge of character. And then tears into the meat.
I love her so much.
I usually don't like this level of convenience in my plot, but this worked for me. This is all okay. Just everything was like, we need Mandos.
If it was someone other than, I think, It's good writing, and I also think that Sidaris sells
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
So we have a really cool circular wipe transition that takes us to the Razor Crest in space, staying in sublight, which is dangerous because the chance of them being attacked is very high. Mando doesn't speak frog, so Frog Lady doesn't speak anything else. He tries Hatties, shout out to our sponsors. She doesn't speak anything, so there's no communication going on here. Yoda Baby gets a look at the container of Frog Lady's eggs, puts his little hand on the jar, and we start hearing this beautiful motif with the music, and it's beautiful. And it's almost like we see Yoda Baby's face through the glass in like a Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet kind of moment.
At first, I thought he was maybe like thinking that one of these eggs was like force sense, like was gonna be like a force sensitive baby or something, or like
That's what I thought too.
My intentions for the Yoda baby were so much more pure than what actually ended up happening.
Right. It's because the motif is reminded me at least very much of the theme Yoda and the Younglings from episode 2. And it was very pure and innocent. And so I'm like, oh, this is him admiring beauty in the little pocket-sized aquarium. Not to take it back to the holiday special again. Mm-hmm. But Mando leaves Frog Lady in the cockpit, which is an upcoming country western song, goes to get some sleep. This begins the quest. The real quest of this episode is Mando's quest for sleep.
Seriously.
Which I think all of us at this point can identify with strongly.
Yes.
Comes to collide with Yoda Baby's quest, which is Yoda Baby's quest for food. Because he goes down and Yoda Baby was not having a force connection with these eggs. What was he doing with them, Caitlin?
He's eating them.
And they're
just eating.
They're her babies. Right?
He just slurps them down.
So we don't know what the biological implications are here, because we don't know much about Frog Lady or Frog Lady's eggs or Frog Lady's species or her husband or what or how
all
this works.
All we know is that the Yoda baby is eating the eggs that this Frog Lady is looking to protect with her life.
Yes.
Yeah. It's once again the second episode of a season of The Mandalorian making much ado about eggs, because this is going to be a runner in this whole episode. So it's like, once again, it's Suka, 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 Suka.
And when I immediately saw this, Brian, I was like, here's your eggs. Like, you were upset that dragon
it's
wasn't
like
an egg.
I'm so hot on that. I don't even like saying
eggs. You like
eggs? It's like, I like eating them, but I don't like talking about it. So it's a weird thing. I can deal with it if I want to. But, it's like pearls before eggs, I guess, but it's like this is also it's starting this tradition, and I'm wondering if it's going to keep. It's like how the third episode of every Doctor Who season is usually a time travel episode.
Yes.
Wondering as this show goes on, the million seasons it's going to, if episode 2 is always going to be
eggs,
an egg,
the effing weird one.
Oh yeah,
you know what? I'll take it too.
Yeah, I like that.
That's going to have eggs in it, and if anything, it's like with that one is like the job for the job is like this is a thing for Yoda Baby. It's food based. And so, it's a thing. And there's not a lot of other food on the Razor Crest. He's a growing boy.
And we know he likes frogs. He's eaten frogs before. So why wouldn't he like Frog Lady eggs?
You know, when he was a lad, he ate 5 dozen Frog Lady legs every morning to help him get large. And when he's Yoda teen, he'll eat 6 dozen frog lady eggs.
Oh, yeah.
So he's roughly the size of the
Razor
Crest.
Size of a barge.
Sophisticated. Yeah,
anyway. No one. Okay, anyway. Mando leaves. I already said that, but I just want to say it again. Mando leaves frog lady in the cockpit. Okay.
He stops him. Mando picks him up. Stop it. And then he goes and he puts him. He's in his sleeping bunk. He has made a little hammock that he put that the Yoda baby sleeps in.
I love it.
He just picks him up whole and puts him in his hammock, and then his rack is the BSG fan in me likes that he kept saying, I'm gonna go get some rack time, and he was like in his rack and he sleeps right below, and he shuts the little door on it so he doesn't get out, and that's how they sleep. And I just wrote, it's so adorable, I want to die.
Yep.
We fade out, nice dreams, until loud noises! Mando hops to the cockpit, and there are ships on the radar. And Matt, I feel bad because we thought it was going to happen this week.
We
thought you were going to get, you know, your big moment, and it was going to be a big celebration all around. But runner-up, though, what do you get?
New Republic X-Wings, I'm here for it. Loved it.
Yep, and they come flying alongside the Razor Crest, and how cool is this? His transponder is not emitting, and this is a problem for them. It's pretty much now the New Republic is checking on pulling people over for broken taillights.
This
is what you're doing?
I loved this scene so much for, like, everything it's saying about the New Republic without saying it. It's like they're kind of making the New Republic is strong, but they kind of make them, like goody goody two shoes, like, you know, like they're saying they're up as like the Boy Scouts of the galaxy now.
They 100% are the Boy Scouts of the galaxy.
Yeah, like they don't really have a hard edge.
It's a weird scene. You know? It's a subversive scene because, you know, when he's saying the ship is pre-Empire surplus, I don't need a transponder, and they're like, yeah, this is the New Republic. The rules are different now in this sector. So for the New Republic being really anal in this time period, cannon fire. But
they're not being jerks about it, though. Like, they're not being, like,
no,
you know.
No, they're being very nice. They're being nice about it. But also, it's cordial, much more than the Imperials just would have shot him out of the sky. But also, I like that we talk so much about what the New Republic, because we saw these X-Wings in the trailer. And we're thinking, does the New Republic want with Baby? Do they want Mando? What's going on here? And it's the equivalent of a traffic stop, broken tail light.
I'm into it.
And all craft have to have a beacon. And the thing is, in this whole scene, it's you think it's over, you think, and you're rooting for Mando, right? So you're like, get out of this. And you're rooting not against new X-Wings, but you're like, just X-Wings, just leave them alone.
Yeah.
And when they finally, and it's just they start talking and he's not hearing it. And then all you see is S-foils open on one side.
Good. It was so
and then
good.
They open on the other. It's chilling in a way that has never been before, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because always it's like S-foils in attack position. It's like, yeah, good guys going and getting them. But this time it's a harbinger of trouble brewing.
Well,
yep.
So that's what an interesting turnaround.
Well, and you know that X-Wings are awesome. Like if two TIE fighters are on your side, you're like, oh, Mando's going to get rid of these and no problem. But X-Wings.
Yeah, they don't have shields.
Like they're...
X-Wings do have shields.
Yeah, they're good.
As we know, they've got the three lines, especially if they put all the firepower on red. We know from Squadrons how formidable they can be.
That's right.
Oh, God.
So love it. Love it. So anyway, all craft have to have a beacon. He says he'll get it. He says, I'll get on that. It's like, so again, it's like, I'll fix the taillight. See that you do. And then he tells them, may the force be with you.
My favorite part.
Yeah.
And then they say, and also with you. So, okay. He knows... the phrase. This is we've seen the Alliance adopt this phrase. We've in more of like a good, not a good luck way or a religious way, but kind of a spiritual way. They're not Jedi, but they're believers in the Force. So he knows the phrase. He's heard that it's said. We know from things like chapter nine, Peli Motto said, thank the Force. So he knows that the Force is a word. It's a thing.
But then doesn't understand. Yeah, I think that's the point you're going to make. He doesn't understand what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the point I'm going to make. It's like, but he doesn't understand that when Baby floated the Mudhorn last season, that was the Force.
Yeah.
It's like knowing that this is something people say and then seeing a Mudhorn floating in the air it doesn't mean that you know that that's what it is. It's completely different. So maybe at some point we'll see him connect those things.
It's a weird galaxy. Him. He's probably just like, there's a lot of crazy going on here.
There's a lot of
look,
stuff.
Matt, I've been from one end of this galaxy to the other, seen a lot of strange stuff,
right.
But I've never seen anything that made me believe, you know?
There you go.
So it's people can, you might not have seen it, or even if you have, you don't know that's what it is. It's like, but, you know, we know that people talk about angels, you know, so it's... Yep. You know, kind of similar, maybe. I likened it to, there are many times where I've heard a song on radio, other people's radios and stuff, and I'm like, oh, I like that song. It's that song I like. I don't know what the song's called or the band. And then I also hear at like, at a completely other situation, the name of a song in a band, and I'm like, no, I've never heard that. And then one day someone's like, well, here's that song, and they play it. It's like, oh, I have heard that. That's that song I like from the radio. I just didn't ever make that connection. It's literally the same thing. Anyway, Carson, we find out his name, and it's not Mr. Carson from Downton. It's Carson, the X-Wing pilot, but he still does things for the glory of Downton, worth noting. He's not done from the New Republic. He isn't done, and he wants Mando to send him a ping. And I have to unpack who this actor is. Playing Captain Carson Teva by Paul Sun Hyung Lee, possibly best known at the moment for playing Appa on Kim's Convenience, which is a Canadian show, but you can watch it on Netflix. It's one of those delightful sitcoms. He is amazing, not just on that show, but just as an actor, as a guy. He's also a Star Wars super fan, like the make your own stormtrooper armor kind of super fan.
Nice.
He has done that. And he has been talking on Twitter all morning, actually, about how hard it was for him to keep the secret, because he's a prolific tweeter and he's very good to responding to fans. He does that a lot. So people are asking him, how did you keep the secret? Because it's been years now. And he says, yeah, it wasn't hard. It was very hard, rather. And he was just saying about how great Favreau and Filoni were. And I'm just really happy for him. Anytime a super fan like this gets a chance like this, and for it to be him, you know, it's just really,
and
he's
for his,
just,
and for his co-pilot to be Filoni,
and his co-pilot is of course Dave Filoni is back as
he gets
as,
around Filoni
Trapper
in that galaxy.
Trapper Wolf
got a lot
back.
Of ground covered in the
but
away.
For Captain Carson Teva of the New Republic cannon fire. Anyway, they are sweeping for Imperial hold. And by the way, Paul, if I may call you that. You are welcome on the show anytime. So send me a DM. We'll hook it up. They are sweeping for Imperial holdouts. Mando either can't or won't ping. They are annoyingly insistent. Mando bluffs, is bluffing in a very Han Solo energy. He's kind of, you know, not really good
at
this.
It.
Yeah. He's yes,
he's
I do.
At it.
Yeah.
Every time. It's like, he's like, tell that to Kanja Club. the other ship comes over to the other one, and there's where we have the S-foil scene, and it's clear that it's you know, the minute you hear the voice that it's Filoni, and you see him pretty soon after that. There is silence, as we talked about, and then they ask his ship if he was in the vicinity of New Republic Transport Bothan 5, and it's pretty safe assumption that this was the prison transport from last season.
Yep.
So again, it's like the Purgo coming home to roost. No filler episodes, and that's not the only connection to that episode this one has either. And yeah, he was. And Mando revs his engines, and we've got a chase going because we cut to Filoni, and he says, we've got a runner.
Yep.
So they're a little bit of a dogfight, not dogfight because nobody's shooting, but they're chasing. They're in the they're in space. Then they're in the atmosphere. Mando has the ship do a dead drop as Frog Lady screams, and then he comes about. He's being chased through a canyon now, and the X-Wings do mention the targeting computers. For a second, I thought they were going to bring them out and do the
Same.
Death Star trench run. Yep. They didn't go that far, which that would have been one
a little too
step.
Far. We've seen a lot of trench runs, you know.
Yeah. I like that they just said targeting computers, so it's like, they're not only for Death Star trench runs. They're also for, you know, planetary use when chasing down Razor Crests.
Sure.
Anyway, Mando pulls a crazy landing and then shuts down. The X-Wings lose him. Of course, though, now he's landed on ice, which collapses, and now the whole ship is in a cave. So this was the X-Wing encounter that we saw in the trailers, as well as the icy planet. It's unless... it's a real secret and they're just not telling us. I don't think it's Ilum. I don't think it's Hoth. I think it's just unnamed.
It's
ice
an ice planet.
Yeah. And, we gotta say for this scene real quick. Sorry, Brian. Is that like...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, go.
It was so like... Think about all the movies and all the chases and like how exciting was this chase scene? It's like, you know,
oh, it's so good.
Effects were great. Yeah. Music, like everything. It was like I was watching it just and when it was over, I was like, man, like that thinking I was just thinking all the movies like that was a fantastic scene. And we
that
just
was fun.
Got it on television.
It really was. it's something that, you know, it's a chase that wouldn't have been out of place in animation.
Right.
It's something
exactly.
that you'd see like the ghost do.
Yep.
Especially in the atmosphere, it reminded me a little bit of Wings of the Master fleetingly, even though that's a B-Wing, you know. And it's rare that we're seeing a ship like the styled like the Razorcrest pull moves like this.
Yeah.
Right.
So as well as, you know, flying away from X-Wings, that, but also just the choreography of it. I agree.
Everything.
With you,
just
Matt.
A beautiful, it was, awesome scene. We're so lucky to have this
series.
It was
series. Very, very, very yes. well done. Yeah.
It's so
I mean, man, ain't that the
and
damn
ain't that
truth.
The truth. Yep.
Oh, anyway. We have another fade out here, and this is interesting because from a technical point of view, I was just watching A New Hope earlier this week, and I was telling you, Matt, if you bought it on digital, they've updated it. So if you thought, oh, McClunky is only on Disney Plus, nope. If you own it on digital,
they do that.
You now have McClunky there too.
Thank
and I was
God.
Like, wow, sneaky MS.
Which I don't like. I mean, not to get totally off tangent, but when you buy something, you should be able to think that's what you bought. Like they
well,
update
Matt,
all that.
To be fair, you and I also have how many copies? Physical,
like 50, like but yeah, my VCR so is broken and the
Caitlin,
THX
Caitlin
versions
destroys them
of the
every
trilogy,
life day, but you know,
we don't play anymore.
Yeah, and that's right. It's almost a year later, and yes, Caitlin, I'm still making that joke. But anyway, I was just thinking about this. The thing in New Hope I was noticing is that there are these fades to black instead of wipe transitions. Mm. There are obviously tons of wipe transitions. This is the first one. I think there's more of them in that movie than any others. But there are fades to black. And it's really the only movie that has those. So I was noticing, I'm like, isn't that interesting? They stopped doing that. And then this episode has two of them. Now there are two of them.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. Anyway, for me. Back on the ship, Frog Lady isn't doing well. There's a hole in the ship. Mando can't find Baby or the eggs. And you're thinking, I'm thinking Yoda Baby ran out the hole in the ship. Dear Liza, dear Liza. And then he pulls over a tarp. And once again, nope. Yoda Baby is, what is he doing, Caitlin?
Slurping. He's opened the hatch and he's slurping down eggs.
Just yep. Who knows how many of them he's eaten
what is his
since
issue?
The ship crashed?
He's murdering
if you notice,
these babies.
It's like, there are like, significantly dude. Less eggs in this thing than
yes.
there were when they
like
got on board.
Like how many has, like I think Mando asks him, how many have you eaten? And he just burps.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, and it's adorable, but then it's like you unpack it a little bit and it's like, well, it's still adorable, but
it's still adorable, but
also a little horrifying.
Dude.
It's like we may have a little murderer here, which,
well, he's watching all this Mando stuff. He's like, you know, taking it all in.
He learns violence. I crave violence.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
has murder ever come from a more adorable place? Aside from that incident when I was 3 years old, something to discuss another time. Anyway,
yeah.
the slurping of the eggs is really something. And his little burp is Star Wars likes its burps. Even, you know, Return of the Jedi has burps. The prequels have full on burps, farts, everything. I mean, it's got snot. It's got every you know, scatological kind of joke there is. Full on. I mean, episode one is just full on. Forget about burps. Full on farts. I mean,
yes.
In
yeah,
that one.
There you go.
Not they kind of get away from that in the sequel trilogy a little bit. Although, I mean, the Sarlacc burps in Return of the Jedi.
Hilarious.
The little thing outside Jabba's palace burps anyway, so this is one of the cuter burps, and yeah. I didn't mind. I don't mind it in general. It's like, but it was, I felt like it was more of, do you think it was a Yoda Baby thing or part of it was a little homage to burping in Star Wars?
I mean, I'm sure it's technically the latter, but also he's just burping because he ate so many eggs. There are so fewer eggs in that thing now.
Oh God!
Yeah, Matt was just giving me a look like, "What are you nuts?" It was a reach. That's why I asked. I didn't
reach,
say it,
but yeah, sure.
Okay,
it was
that's why I asked.
The term
so
an
it's
homage
not so much an homage to burping
in
Star Wars.
We're going a little too deep now.
It's not an homage to burping in Star Wars. It is an homage to how much murder he just committed.
Exactly.
Oh yes, exactly.
Okay. Frog Lady is now talking a lot. Mando says,
I don't speak whatever language that is. You speak Huttese?
Sorry, lady. I don't understand Frog. Anyway, Mando... There are just things that I'm not going to get over today.
Yep.
Mando once again tries to get some sleep, but no dice. Frog Lady cradles her eggs, what's left of them anyway, and looks over and sees the droid body of Zero from last season. Not me. No, you think it was me?
different you were Zero. Waiting for that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You think I didn't have that locked and loaded from the minute? It's like, well, we got to say it's Zero, but it's like, oh, well, you know, my bag of tricks way too well at this point. I was just happy because I'm like, oh my God, Richard Ayoade, he's going to be back. And I kind of had a feeling he would because he was prominent in the recap. So I was like, why are they showing this? And I'm like, oh, if it means Richard Ayoade's back, then I'm excited. We cut to Zero talking. So Richard Ayoade is back. Frog Lady has hooked herself up to its vocabulator. So just like that, Richard Ayoade is back on the show, and Frog Lady is now speaking through the droid voice of Richard Ayoade.
Okay.
Frog Lady lays it all out. She says her husband and she have risked a lot for these eggs, and they're the last of her line, and Mando has to see this through. He makes it clear that he's given up. He's like, we're going to be lucky to get out of here, Frog Lady. And she is insistent and starts guilting him. Through Richard Ayoade, she's like, I heard Mandalorians honor their word. I guess those are just stories for children. And this guilting works. And Mando's just like, this is not part of the deal, and totally gives you a Lando vibe. And so it's no sleep for Mando once again. Mando is fixing the ship. Baby then starts yelling at him in baby. He's like, come over here and look at this. And this
he like kind of scampers off.
Yeah, baby prancing about in the snow is just
his little
is
voice,
more adorability. Yeah, and every time he talks, by the way, it's worth noting the subtitles only say "baby speaking gibberish." Direct quote. So it could be gibberish backwards. We don't know yet. Frog Lady's walked off. He sees the footprints. Frog Lady has found. It turns out they go after her. She's found a warm pool and is bathing in it naked with her eggs right there, I guess, like you do. Mando says he can't protect her out here when she's naked in this natural spring, so they have to get going. He starts gathering up the eggs. Baby goes for one, but he stops before right in front of her.
Yeah.
It's like in full view.
Like, no. It's like, man,
yeah, and he's like,
no,
don't, before he can eat it.
Well,
the indignation of Baby, as he is told no here, is really something else.
I got to say, listen, like, as somebody who has a force-sensitive child who's a toddler, and I'm sure there's a lot of other parents that are watching this episode, like, I don't mean to go down this road, but, man, like, this speaks so true. This whole episode, I was like, this is what I like deal with my every single day. No,
every
they
day.
Don't stop. They don't listen. Neither does Baby Yoda. That makes me feel good. Okay, continue. Sorry, Brian.
Well, I'm also quite a handful for you.
You
every
are.
Day too,
you are very much the same.
I'm like, if you sign up for the premium plan of more force lessons for your force sensitive son, I could take care of that.
I don't need you in his head.
You know,
moving on.
I'm already in the head. It's just you want me in there in a premium way. Anyway, no commercials that way. So it doesn't matter because Baby goes to find. So he's like, fine, I'll go get something else to eat. I will go and get.
Oh, God. And just moving on. More trouble. Great.
He does this little this little prance about in the snow whenever he goes for a little adventure. I seriously can't take it. And Caitlin, talk to us about this. It's like a scene out of, it's not even Alien. It's a scene out of Prometheus is what it feels
like.
That's
the thing. It's very Prometheus. It also just like as he's walking along, you kind of see these kind of oblong globe things that are in the ground. And immediately I just I thought like Jurassic Park kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like the eggs there are very similar. And so I immediately went, oh, those are eggs. He's kind of sniffing too. Like you can see his little nose moving.
I thought there were rocks at one point. Then I'm like, what are you nuts? There's something in those.
Yep.
Nope. As soon as he walked near them, I was like, those are eggs, aren't they? What's inside of the eggs? What made those eggs? This is terrifying. And he goes over and he walks up to one, kind of sniffs it, kind of scratches at it, and then just rips into it.
Yep.
And it's this horrible goo-like substance, and inside is what looks like a small speck.
It's like green. It was not ready to come out of this egg.
It was not, but I knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And even then, I could not prepare myself for the horror.
Yeah.
That would this unfold is, yeah. as the baby munched down on this bug, and then the other eggs start shaking, and you just
yeah no. you have a spider thing. It's we were talking like about it before the show. Yeah. That's fine.
I do too. I missed that conversation, but I am on team Caitlin here. I hate spiders. Hate them.
I mean, yep. What am I going to say? It's like I love spiders. It's like more.
You strike me as someone that might like them. I don't know.
I'm not going to be a spider contrarian when you're both telling me that you're afraid of spiders. I'm not going to say, don't be afraid of spiders. It's like, I get it. It's like, it's not my particular thing, but it's like, do I have any pet spiders in my house? No.
Good.
So I've really yet to pick a side here.
Okay.
So these small spiders start coming out of the eggs, and then more spiders come out of the darkness, and they just are getting bigger and bigger and like... You know that, like, there's something else coming. Like, you immediately, like, it's undeniably, like, Chamber of Secrets, Aragog vibe. Like, you see a ton of spiders everywhere, but then you know there's, like, there's gotta there's be always a the big one. Mama.
Yep. Or to go further back.
There's always a bigger fish.
Yep. For me, it was very Mirkwood.
Yes.
In that it's like,
back in this helicopter. There we go. Exactly.
And they look like similar design to Krichna spiders that we saw in Rebels that are on Adelon. I don't know if they're meant to be, but they looked very, didn't they look very, very similar?
They look very similar.
Yeah.
In the same way that they terrify me. But these ones are not animated. They're realistic looking, which makes them horrible.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about, it's like, who's to say the mix of practical effects and CGI here? Because certainly there was some CGI involved. But I didn't mean to be harsh about CGI before, because when they do it really, really
oh yeah, absolutely.
Really
no,
well.
No, totally.
And for stuff like this, some of the stuff you just can't do without it. And that's without that, you don't have Star Wars at this level on TV. So have nothing but love for those artists or whatever. And that's a unique skill all in itself, but it's the blend, right? It's the blending of the practical and the CGI that sells it most of the time. So you're scared because if it didn't have that blend, you wouldn't be scared by it.
Right.
Yeah. Be like, and the giant one just like falls out of like its perch and just like bam. And like, here's the thing. I think Matt, you missed this, but when Brian and I were talking about it before, this is the first time I do not vibe with a giant, stupid Star Wars monster.
Fair. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Do not vibe with this giant ice spider.
Question. It's not the same creature, but the Aklai in the Geonosis Arena in episode 2. I know you're familiar with that scene.
Indeed.
It's a little spidery. Any issues with that? With the Aklai?
Not necessarily. It was more praying mantisy.
Yeah,
you know?
It's mantisy. Yeah, so it's mantis more like, good. Yeah. Mantis okay. Spidery
bad.
Not so much.
It's not even necessarily the spider itself. It's the volume of spiders.
Yeah.
It's like one
There's
spider.
So
it's like
many spiders.
It's fine, but it's like you knew the minute he ate that one spider that all of them were gonna hatch. And that it's they were just going to get bigger. And that's exactly what happened in a very satisfying, in a horrifying way, but it's also satisfying because the stakes go right up.
Yeah.
Mando immediately sees what's going on. He scoops up baby and the egg container. Frog Lady grabs her clothes with her tongue.
Yep.
She just her bundle of clothes, tongue lashes out and grabs them and senses at the ready because this is, and the spiders are all around them. This is where I finally just broke down and wrote, in my notes, it says all in caps, what the f*** is this episode? No punctuation after that.
I think I wrote a similar note, actually.
And I mean that in the best possible way.
Right.
I mean that.
Insane.
Oh, no, wait. My note was, wait, censors at the ready. My note was, oh, f*** no. That was my note.
The weirdness of this episode, it's like I just didn't expect to be seeing this morning. Really didn't. And I love that it caught me off guard like this. And I love weirdness. I think this is no surprise to either one of you. I'm a pretty weird guy.
Yeah.
I love weirdness. I love all kinds of eccentric things. I think Star Wars can sometimes, for the most part, is a good track record with weirdness.
Yeah.
I have a high tolerance for Star Wars weirdness, but this is, and I mean this in the best way, that this is just so effed up This is one of the weirdest Star Wars. This whole episode, from Dr. Mandible to Frog Lady to Frog Lady using her tongue to grab her clothes out of her natural spring ice bath.
It gets even weirder because as they're running from this horde of spiders, she starts running, hopping like a frog on four legs instead of running on two.
Yeah, she does. She breaks into a run and then she breaks into the four like a frog. And then she definitely has at least one jump. She literally is a frog lady.
She's a frog. She's literally.
You know what? She is a frog lady. And that's they call her Frog Lady. The subtitles call her Frog Lady. That's until I hear otherwise. That's her canonical name. Frog Lady, cannon fire. Also, you know what? Mind blown.
Yeah.
Because I'm really feeling it. I'm all full of it today. So they're running. Mando's shooting. Like Caitlin just said, Frog Lady starts a running and a jumping. Mando tosses some detonators, and then he's shooting a lot. And they make it back to the ship, but the spiders bust right in, and I'm losing it here. I'm getting a little claustrophobic. It's like the spiders, so many spiders, too small a space.
It's like they're flooding, and they try to go to the cockpit, and they're trying to close the door.
As macho as I am, this was freaking me out too, and I'm famous for my machismo.
Well, I couldn't help think, like, how are they going to clean up the ship? Oh God, it's gross in there.
Yeah, because I'm like, how are they going to get them out of here? I'm like, you can't take off. There's a giant hole in the side of the ship. But then I forgot it's Star Wars. He's trying to seal themselves into the cockpit, and he's continuing to blast. Then he finally just busts out the flamethrower, and I'm like, took you long enough. I'm like, I forgot you had that. And then there's at one point there's a spider on Baby's head,
and he just
Baby didn't
like,
want to deal with it,
trying to pat it away.
Yeah,
and it's the first time I've ever said, well, you kind of deserve a tiny bit of comeuppance.
A little bit.
Yeah. It's like for your behavior in this episode has been all around poor. Delightfully amusing.
Yoda Baby deserves a timeout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he really didn't like the spider on his head. Frog Lady shoots it off with a little blaster that we didn't know she had. She has this little Derringer blaster.
She's a good shot.
Yeah. She's keeping it for her galactic dinner theater production of Bonnie and Clyde, where she plays Bonnie.
Interesting.
Her husband lost out on the role of Clyde. Fun fact.
What a reference.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Mando's had enough and he finally uses his flamethrower. I'm like, I forgot you had that. By all means, use some of the million little tricks you have on your suit to combat this army of spiders. It's like maybe some whistling birds.
The literal flood of their legs, like going through the freaking door. Ugh.
Yeah. So he starts taking off. We think he's doing it. And I'm like, OK, he's doing it, Peter. He's doing it. He's doing it. And then nope. The big damn spider lands on top of the ship and grounds it again. I'm like, oh, Lord. And then it starts stabbing through the ship. We got pincers, legs, what have you, stabbing through, breaking the glass, attacking the cockpit. We've got the thing's mouth and
it's
teeth
got, like, Sarlacc
on the glass.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Sarlacc mouth is very similar to the Minock mouth on the Falcon's
round
cockpit
mouth.
That scares Leia.
Yeah.
That one of the only times you see her rattled, and I was too. That always freaks me out. But then something else starts shooting at it. It's something else. It's like, who is this? And
I thought it was other Mandos for a hot second.
I did too. Yeah. I thought it was other Mandos had arrived. I'm like, who knows? Maybe it's freaking an army of clones. Who knows? But nope, it's a little more closer to home. It's Carson and Wolf, the New Republic pilots from earlier, shooting the blasters they have of the same blaster rifles the Endor strike team.
Yeah, I was going to say that once I heard the sound of the blaster, I knew it was them. I knew it was the X-Wings.
Yeah.
And it's and then you saw what the look of it. I'm like, Endor Strike Team. That's their blaster rifle.
Yep.
They tell him that he's on, and then they get rid of the spiders and they say, yeah, you're on our bad list, but you also have done some good stuff. Yeah, there's some good bounties.
Kind of evens it out, man.
Yeah, and they also mention what's interesting. They it's like also you tried to protect Lieutenant Davin.
Yep.
last season in that episode, in the Prison Break episode, was of course the character played by Matt Lanter in that cameo. So I guess they security cameras got that and they charted that. So it's nice that, you know, and we remember that he did do that, and it's nice that it doesn't have a payoff, but it has consequences.
Yeah, but also right. What I liked about this moment is like, and going back to what the New Republic is struggling with now, it's like, it's a big galaxy. They got a lot of work to do. And like, they kind of have to ride this line. Like, I don't know their enemies and their allies. And like, they obviously don't see him as an enemy. And
well, no,
right. they've got a lot of rebuilding to do in this galaxy. Yeah. They're like, you
gotta
cool.
pick and choose.
Yeah. Like, look, he's not an Imperial.
Yep.
So who cares?
Right.
Right.
It's like pretty much is what they do. Cause let's not forget in this time period also Mon Mothma, where, 5 years out of Return of the Jedi, we're well past the Battle of Jakku. She's got a whole demilitarization thing going
on. Yeah.
She does not want the New Republic to become the Empire. So she is scaling back their military drastically.
Yep.
So they don't, you know, this is coming theoretically, that's going on during this.
Right.
It's like that was being planned before the Battle of Jakku, and she's still around now. So that's, you know, happening in the background. Interesting thing to keep in mind. It did not go well because there's only one Mon Mothma, and you take her out of the picture, and then you have some jackass ruin Leia's political career by revealing who her real father was. You got problems. Anyway, also the dead speak. Mando says, "Am I under arrest?" Carson says, "Technically you should be, but these are trying times." And I'm like, so it's pretty much a let's just call it even situation, like we said. They tell him again, it's like, but fix that tail light.
They're out of there, right? Like, exactly.
But fix the transponder, and then they take off.
Wait, and then he
asks if they will help him, and they're like, nah, man, you got this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need us. He's like, wouldn't hurt.
He like looks at the giant like spider carcass up on his completely ruined ship.
It would be really great to get to tow it off or something. And there's like, no, man, you're a Mando. You got this. He's like,
got this.
I kind of don't appreciate it, but would go a lot faster. That's a whole cut scene.
And it goes back to like what I was saying before. It's like they're kind of the Boy Scouts, but then they still like, you know, luckily, you know, in contradicting my point from before, they got a little edge still. They're kind of like, all right, like we're not going to fix your tail light.
They're saying it's like, you got this.
Yeah.
And he totally doesn't have this.
No.
It's like, I think they fully believe he's got this.
Yeah.
And in no way does he have this.
No.
No.
But
wait, I mean, and one more note we got to call about these guys too, because I know people are going to call this out. Is that like, did you guys notice how like great a shot they were? Like, it was very clear they can hit their targets.
Like, well, yes, it's the giant spider is obviously not hard to hit, but they were picking up smaller ones.
Yeah, and it's like a stormtrooper can never do that.
Like bullseyeing womp rats.
Yeah.
You know, they were good shots.
Yeah.
Love it.
Not a stormtrooper wise ass, as Bill Burr said. So it's pretty much, as I said, call it even, they're out. Mando can pressurize the cockpit alone to get them to Trask. So they don't need the rest of the ship, I guess a hole in the side of the ship is fine. Yeah. So they're going to be limping there. He says, talking to the room now. He's like, all right, baby, frog lady, unborn eggs. If you need to use the privy, do it now. It's
going
to be a long ride. And this is just setting up, and I haven't mentioned it, but there are a lot of shots of the vac tube.
There is.
The vac tube is very prominently in a lot of shots here. He makes this happen. Baby watches adorably. The ship is finally off. Mando once again tries to sleep. He says, wake me up if someone shoots at us or if that door gets sucked off the rails. I'm kidding. If that happened, we'd all be dead.
Yeah, I like how he's having some light humor now.
he's got a little bit of sense of humor here, though.
He's like, look, it's been a day. And he finally has someone to talk to rap with. Baby then looks at the eggs, and Frog Lady clutches them. She's got them, you know, I think she's onto him. She's hugging them, and she goes to sleep. It's like, not going to happen, baby. I'm like, oh, that's a funny end to this whole thing. And then it's like, nope, because Yoda baby turns around and she shuts her eyes, and what has he got, Caitlin?
He's got an egg because he's a Terminator.
What does he have? Pockets?
He looks so satisfied, and he just slurps it down, and that's where the episode ends.
And he's hiding it. Yep. He's like, "Yeah, I'm not going to eat your eggs." Yes, I am.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
You're clutching them. That's fine. I've had enough. Okay, I'm going to sleep. Now that she's asleep. dun, 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 like, and that's the end of the episode.
Yep.
Part of me is like, oh, we're 5 minutes out, still some time to get to the boat. And then I'm like, 4 minutes out, still could leave with the boat journey. And then it just didn't happen. I'm sorry, Matt.
Yep.
Okay. But we're out. I've already said, noted the weirdness, but I think it's, you know, similar to how it certainly took it up a notch, but it's like I'm wondering if this is now going to be a tradition, the second episode being really weird. I can see people, I don't mind it because, a lot happened, but in terms of, and it was really satisfying, but in terms of big story reveals, not that much.
Yep.
Right.
You know, last week had Cobb Vanth, had Boba, had Great Dragon Pearls, which we talked all about last week. Totally didn't miss it. Had so much going on and advancement of the story. Not just a 54-minute Western. It added a lot. This one is just weird as hell, and we'll see where it's going, because they're obviously, who is this contact? They're going to see Frog Lady's husband, and who does she connect them to? Presumably, they're going to have to get there by boat, and Sasha Banks will be on that boat. That's my guess anyway. Yep. It's still satisfying because it doesn't, you know, just because Ahsoka didn't pop up here doesn't mean it's not satisfying.
No, and the beauty of this series is that, like, classic great television shows of yesteryear, it's episodic. You know, like, there is an overarching narrative, but, like, you could sit down and watch any of these episodes stand alone whenever you want because they're all exciting, and a lot of them don't necessarily, you know, hinder on the previous entry, you know?
Right.
They don't, but it's, having seen the Prison Break episode, it's not necessary for this, but
it enhances
it.
Yep.
It makes a wonderful binge, and it does work serialized.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, but if you just see a couple here and there, it also still works. So I think that's I think it really works both ways, but that is a good point. And I like that some secrets are like, we didn't know for certain that Richard Iowate was coming back. That was a lovely surprise.
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but like when you saw Zero, were you like a little bit disappointed that it wasn't that droid? Like because like in a second I was like, oh my God, he was set up, and like somehow like this is like the sequel to the heist episode, and the gang is getting Mando back for what he did, and Zero's here, and then it was like, oh, he's not, but I really like Zero.
But
oh, you Zero's thought good. That you thought you were expecting Bill Burr and Zian and Berg and that whole crew.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just a setup to get back on the Razor Crest and turn on Zero.
I think we are getting.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
The revenge.
And what I like is that Iowate droid Zero is still on the ship.
Yeah, it proves
and
he can
be still used
on.
In this way.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like he's not out of the show and he's still on the ship. And the fact that Mando now has a droid, he kept it, which is interesting in terms of his whole droid thing, isn't it? It's like maybe this becomes the new IG-11, except it's Richard Iowate, and that's an interesting thing. But also had no idea that Paul's son, Hyung Lee, was going to be in this episode. For someone who's a big fan of him, he's not a huge star, but for someone like me, it's a big deal. These little treats here and there are really nice, especially when the bigger ticket people like Oliphant, those surprises are, you know, less. Caitlin, what's your take all around on this episode? Were you satisfied?
I loved it. It was weird as hell. Could do without the spiders, but, you know, I'm going to be thinking about it for a while, so clearly the effect worked. Interested to see what Yoda Baby murders next.
Yeah, there you go.
That's something that you just said. Yeah. Matt Romano, anything else to add aside from the excellent things you've already said?
Oh, well, I thank you. No, I nothing really to add. I'm just excited for next week because I feel like next week will really kick in the gear in terms of like the overarching plot boats. Of this episode of this series.
Yeah.
And boats. Yes. Many boats. Boats. All the boats.
Yeah. Many boats.
Boats and Star Wars.
That's how we'll end. We didn't see any, but to you both, many boats.
Many boats.
Many boats.
We're going to go to break, but we're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. So we'll be back right after this. So don't turn us off.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If you like a good murder mystery story, you'll love June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game where Detective June Parker unravels the mystery of her sister's death. Travel back to the beautifully illustrated 20s, find clues, discover hidden objects, and watch the story unfold with new chapters released weekly. Put your detective skills to the test. Download June's Journey on Android or iOS, or play online via Facebook games.
We're back, and now it's time to take a look at some galactic points of interest.
Good news has come to the citizens of Lothal.
Comics new from Marvel this week was Star Wars number 8, continuing the Will of Tarkin arc. Also out this week was the special issue of Star Wars Adventures, Shadow of Vader's Castle, written by Kevin Scott. I ended up, for the first time ever, being awake to get a notification that a comic pre-order had come in.
Oh.
That had never happened in that way before. So that was an interesting thing. And both are excellent. All the new arcs are really interesting in the Marvel series, and Star Wars Adventures, as I've said, is just always it's just a really fun time.
It's an adventure.
It's an adventure, if you will. Book news. The Empire Strikes Back based sequel to A Certain Point of View anthology is out on the 10th of November. The embargo is passed, though. It's over, so I can talk about it. I haven't read all of it, but I have read a few of the stories, and I'm not going to spoil it. But I mean, there's not a lot to spoil. I mean, but it's in terms of what to look forward to. For me, this collection is worth it for the Wampa story alone, a story from the Wampa's point of view. You will never look at the Wampa in Empire Strikes Back the same way again after reading this
in
story.
In a good way? Do I want that? Called, do I want that?
In a good way. It's called Hunger.
Am I going to feel bad for the Wampa?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
It's, yeah, because I'll just put it this way. It's like the Wampa was there first. It's like
that's true.
The Wampa was there before the Rebels ever, you know, decided we're going to hide here.
Oh, no.
And, you know, the Wampa, you know, had a Wampas create other Wampas, you know.
So Luke's a jerk for cutting his arm off? Like,
no, not necessarily. But at the same time, you know,
it's just interesting.
Now. Okay, fine. All
right. I've thought more about the Wampa since reading it than I ever have in my whole life. And it's been like just a couple days. Another story also I've mentioned about Torrin Farr called Ion Control, about the Ion Cannon Controller. This really is funny because it kind of touches on shipping, is that everyone on Echo Base, General Rykian included, were living for the ongoing entertainment and drama of Han and Leia. That was their television. There was nothing else going on. They're on this ice planet. They're scared for their lives. The best soap opera was happening live right in front of them.
That's fun.
That is good.
It's like they're having their first argument in that room, and everyone in the room
is staring,
is doing their work, but also listening, and including General Reiki.
It makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, and they have a whole betting pool going on about like who's going to make a move, what's going to happen, and General Reiki and like. Puts in the pool.
Good.
He has his name neatly written. In terms of Rebellion Generals, he's always been one of my favorites.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, great guy.
It's really hilarious. And then it goes through the whole battle and it gets off shipping completely. But that's just a hilarious detail and it rings so true. So for like the minutiae of stuff like that, it's like when the cameras are pointed over here, here's what the logical extension of what would be happening, which is we're seeing a lot in Star Wars recently. I've read about half of them and they're all, you know, it's all fun stuff. And obviously if you're a fan of The Empire Strikes Back, I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you are. It's out on November 10th and I recommend it.
Right.
So with that, I will turn it over to the Jedi Master for our next segment.
This is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and now it's time for Caitlin's Word of the Week.
The word of the week is murder.
Good job, Caitlin. She seems to be on top of things.
Oh, perfect. That word encapsulates everything. That is a good word of the week. Yeah,
Thank you.
Thank you. Great job, Caitlin. Always.
Whereas usually they're not. You said that it's like, that's a good word of the week. Last week's.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, I'm just calling out.
It's a good one.
That's a good word.
I feel very good about it.
Yeah, you should, Caitlin. Well,
there's never a bad one. I mean, let's make that clear.
No, never.
But.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's great to really great, I guess. Anyway, that's going to take us into real talk.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Want to give a hello to Philip Peacock, who created a Cobb Vanth-based TikTok that they sent to me, and it was really funny.
Oh,
it was,
look at you watching TikTok.
It was a kid saying,
who the hell are you?
He sent it to, yeah, I know, right? It's a kid saying, I'm not going to fall in love, and then it was all Cobb Vanth, and then it was a kid falling downstairs, something like that. It was really funny, and I think it's time this morning after I watch this episode, I think I'm going to, you know, stop being such a stick in the
you going to download TikTok?
I think I've already downloaded it. I just haven't joined.
Are you going to make TikToks, Brian? Can we make TikToks?
I'm going to join. I don't know if I'm going to make them, but I'm going to join. I'm going to dip the toes.
You got to get the algorithm right. It's going to take you a little while, but
yeah,
you'll get
there.
Yeah. Yep. I figured it's like, I got to know, you know, what to check in. I mean, it's not a done deal, but I said this morning, I'm like, you know what? I was on, you know, such a weird place after this episode. It's like, why not?
It's Friday.
It's like, yeah, let's just go
hope.
For it.
Yep. Thank
over
you.
On, yep. That's what gives you
that's
hope.
That gives me hope.
over on Apple Podcasts, we want to give a hello to Ninja2Fast49, as well as, this was the name they put down, quote unquote, Brian is way rad. Now, this was not me who wrote this. It's not even clear which Brian they're talking
about.
How did
this make it to real
they're saying
talk.
Is rad. Yeah. They could be referring to Brian Cox.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's not me. It's not anyone I know that's admitted it. Anyway, we're just saying hello. Over on Twitter, a big hello and thank you to Keegan Luther. Finally on Twitter, last night, this is something, Matt, both you and I mentioned.
Yep.
A hello to Chop on Chan, a.k.a. Chandler G, who gave us, Matt, what you called our new podcast description.
Yes.
When they tweeted a screenshot of listening to the episode, and their quote was, glad these three stooges are back talking about Oliphant being unfairly attractive, snorts of spotchka, and internal dragon pearls.
There we go.
Now wait,
so it's like,
imagine you could go back in time, right? Like go back a year ago,
yeah.
and you read that, you'd be like, what has become of our podcast?
What did we do?
What have we done?
I think everything is good.
What have I done?
What have I done? What was the note? Oh, that's right. You know, it's like, you know what's working out? You know what things in this podcast are working out, Matt?
What's that?
All of them.
All of them, Mando.
That was the new thing. I said I was going to start screaming it. This is what we talk about during the week. It's like, this is going to be the new thing I start screaming. Because usually it's like my father. all of them.
Sorry.
Bless you, Carl Weathers. I can't wait for you to come back. Whew. With that, we're gonna lock our S foils and make you really, really tense for a little bit. But we'll be back next week for more fun with the Mandalorian.
Oh, Mandalorian.
In the meantime, feel free to reach out to us on social media. Caitlin Bush, you can be found where?
I can be found at Caitlin M. Bush. That is CAITLINM. Bush like the beer, not like the president's.
Matt Romano, you can be found where?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Romano, MattRomano.
And I can be found in the MySpace group, Dr. Mandible. No, sorry, that was a half-form joke. Anyway, it's now keep all of this in. I screwed that up. insert Dr. Mandible joke here. I don't know. I don't have one. And I can be found on Twitter at Brian Silliman, that's at B-R-I-A-N-S as in Sky Guy, I-L-L-I-M-A-N. I just spelled that without reading it. I'm really proud
I'm
of
so
myself.
So proud of you.
Stretch out and share your feelings and your thoughts. We love hearing from you, Dr. Mandible. Subscribe, leave a comment, Frog Lady, and give 5 stars if you're feeling generous. Snoke them if you got them. Take a Chivy and remember, hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night. This is the way we have spoken. Many boats, Dr. Mandible, Frog Lady, the Force will be with you always. Be the spark.
All of them!